We are continuing here in Tomer Dvorah, and we're speaking a little bit about the way that the Ribono Shel Olam has a degree of how God's Chachma, what exactly God's Chachma provides, and by learning what God's wisdom, Kivyachol, does, so we're able to extract certain ideas about what it is that we are supposed to actually be, what it is that we exactly are supposed to be doing. Says Tomer Dvorah as follows, V'od, HaChachma T'chaya HaKol, K'dichsiv V'HaChachma T'chaya Ba'aleha, that God's Chachma gives life to everything. That God's Chachma infused everything with life. What does that mean? So then Parshim explained, it means as follows, HaKavanah Hi Al Torah HaKadosha, Shilamala Min HaKol, that God's Chachma is manifest in Torah. God's Torah is Takla Ba'oraisa U'Bara Alma. The Torah becomes the blueprint for the world. The Torah is what, as the Gemara says in Shabbos and Daf Peches, if we're Mekabel Torah, the Torah is going to continue to be in existence. If not, Sham Teikfu Raschem, that's where you're going to end up eventually. We're not going to have an existence at all. And Torah, in that sense, something which provides a degree of life. Torah is something which provides a degree of all of creation is predicated on this idea of Torah. Bereishis, Bishvil Torah, Shnikras Reishis. There's something about Torah and the Chachma of God that sustains the world in its existence. Kach Yihyehu Morechayim L'chol Ha'olam. So too, the same Chachma of Ribono Shel Olam that gives is the basis or the blueprint for the world has the ability to offer a degree of Chayim, of life, to the entire world. V'gorim Lahem Chayi Olam Hazeh V'chayi Olam Haba. And a person who, the same way that God's Chachma creates this world, so the more that we tap into God's Chachma, i.e. Torah, the more that that improves the quality of life in this world, as well as our standing in the next world, umamtzi lahem chayim. And it gives them, eventually, life through Torah. Zehaklal yihye noveya chayim lakol. The chayim is the basis. Things stem from chayim. In that sense, what we daven for at Maariv, of kihem chayenu v'orechamenu, that Torah is our life, it's not just like a little bit of a Musar Shmuz, you know, kind of an idea of the Chashivas of Torah, but it's somewhat more precise than that. Kihem Chayenu V'Orechamenu is that Torah, in many ways, God's Chachma is the basis of life. God's Chachma is the basis of what it is, of what it's really all about in a certain sense. Okay. There's a lot to unpackage here. There's one thing in particular I want to at least begin by focusing on. At least a little bit. Okay. It's one thing to say that Torah is what helps the person get Olam Haba. I think that piece of this is let's assume for now, is pretty clear. That if Torah, the Mishnah says in Peyas, can I get Kulam Talmud Torah? If Talmud Torah is a mitzvah. So mitzvahs in general help us get reward in the world to come. As it's true, the Mishnah tells us in Avot, it's not the reason why we do mitzvot, but the fact that Torah can give a person Olam Haba, that makes a good deal of sense. There may be other ways to also get Olam Haba, but Torah playing a particular kind of a role, that's something which I think is more or less a foregone conclusion in terms of Torah's capacity when it comes to Olam Haba. Okay, that much I think is pretty clear. What I think is really intriguing is, and the fact that God, let's say, looked at Torah before he created the world, that's also mefurish in Chazal, that the Ribono Shel Olam, Torah was what he looked at, Torah, the world's created for Torah, what gives life, that idea of Chaim V'Lazner, many of us are aware of, if there'd be a second in this world when nobody was learning anywhere, so then the world would cease to exist, because Torah is what provides the world with its meaning and with its power, and absent, it would be, there'd be something lacking. But his language, I think, is unbelievable. Kachu Mora Chaim L'chol Olam, V'gorim lahem chaye ha'olam haza. That Torah changes my own olam haza. And the simple pshat based on context, and some of the footnotes here to point out, is ki ha'torah hi derech ha'chayim l'chaye osher gam ba'olam haza. That Torah makes a person happy in this world also. So full disclosure, in general, I'm not a fan of this idea that much. The idea that you should become a religious Jew because you'll be happiest if you were a religious Jew, and that this is the way to have real simcha, I find to be wrong on several levels. Practically, I think elements of it are dangerous. You're telling a guy that's a little bit depressed, by the way, I have the antidote for you. It's called the life of Torah mitzvos, and don't worry, then you'll always be happy. I think it's a bad way to sell yahadus. I'm just not sure that it's always... And what happens when the guy realizes that he's, not as... I think there's too much riding on the happiness. As Rambam writes, maybe we can do Torah mitzvos because it's true, not because it makes us feel better. I happen to not be convinced that the entirety of halacha points to the idea of making a person happy. I have a hard time learning the third pack of Moikat and Hilchos Avelos under the understanding that the goal of Hilchos Avelos is to make you happy. I don't think that's so. I think the goal of Avelos is to help you feel properly. The goal of Avelos is to help you experience things the way they're supposed to be experienced. But if it was all about you just being happy, so you wouldn't just have the Gemara in Irvin of Nivra Yayin Elanachim Boas Ha'Avelim. We would say, just drink all day, you know, like whatever. We have to find other ways to distract you from it. And the Gemara, Gimel Yamin Lebech, yeah? I don't think Torah is all about I don't think the purpose of halacha is like, here is the only way to have a happy life. I don't like it in that kind of a way. It doesn't mean though that it's not that it's not elements of it in a real way are not true. You know, like the Musar Shmuz thing of happy and joy and like, but that guy's not really having a good time and you're like, well, I don't know. He's like smiling right now. You know, like I think he looks like he's pretty happy and you're like, no, he's not really that happy. Do you know how sad he really is, like deep down inside? And you're like, doesn't look like it. So there's definitely a little bit of at least for me, of being nervous, playing up too much. The Chai Osher B'Olam Hazeh, like that is the goal of Torah. That's the goal of Torah and Mitzvos in that sense. The fact that I don't think the goal of Torah Mitzvos or the reason why we have it is to make us happy, although the Ramchal, I think in a more sophisticated way, in the beginning of Mesilas Sharim, speaks about there may be tanug in Olam Haba that a person's able to experience as a result. Okay, the Rav and Halachic Man, you know, does not speak in those terms the same way as the Ramchal, but that's at least, you know, something which I think is very much present. The idea that Torah Mitzvos, though, can give you Chai Osher be'Olam Haza is something which I think can be true. And I think there is an element of it that needs to really be discussed. In many ways, you know, there's a real power here as far as the joy which is present. In the Ha'aros V'Lachta B'Drachav here, he quotes, I think, it's a nice idea from the Mishnah Meseches Avos in the sixth parak. Okay, technically maybe a brisa, but he has a very sort of sharp, I think it's a nice sort of a Ha'ara. The Mishnah says, Amr B'Yosi Ben Kisma, Pam Achas Heisi Mahalich B'Derech. One time I was walking in the street, and a person came over to me. He said hi to me. I said hi back to him. Okay, very nice. Amrli Rebbe, me'ezem makomata. I said to him, okay. The guy says to me, Rebbe, where are you from? So amarti lo me'ir gedola shechachamim v'shal sofrim ani. I'm a place of lots of chachamim and lots of sofrim. It's a really knowledgeable place. Amrlo Rebbe, ritzoncha shetidur imanu b'mekomenu. You want to move to where we are? We don't have that the same way. You want to move to where we are? I'll give you an amazing salary to come live in our community. Do you want to come? Do you want to come be in our community? If you give me all of the jewels, all the treasures in this world, I'm only going to live in a place of Torah. And that's what David HaMelech said in Tehillim Kuf Yates about Torah. Tovli Torah spicha me alfei zahav v'chasef. I like Torah is better for me than alfei zahav v'chasef. V'lo ot. Okay. Ella shebishasi says as follows. Shatam harishon she'amar shetovli Torah spicha me alfei zahav v'chasef. Hutam she'af be'olam hazeh k'lei lader b'makom Torah. Shrak makom Torah yachalach. Suggests again, Rav Goldberg here in the footnotes of the that what's the pshat there? The pshat isn't that he's just saying Torah is better than money. There's two ways of viewing it. One way of viewing it is that Torah is better than material wealth because I care about Olam Haba. Torah will lead me to Olam Haba, and therefore I'd rather sacrifice the material wealth for that. That's one way of saying it. The second way of saying Mishnah, which he thinks is probably shown in the Mishnah, is it not like that. It's that it's actually a better Olam Haza to have less, but be more committed to Torah. Then a level of Olam Haza, there's something here which is beautiful, something here which is powerful, about a life which is infused in a certain sense with this kind of meaning. There's a very famous anecdote about Rav Aaron Cutler. You can take it or leave it, the anecdote, but it's a very famous. I want to unpackage it for a minute. Sometimes it's like it's said over. You have to add a little bit, I think, really extract elements of its meaning. Rav Aaron Cutler was once talking with a guy. It's a very wealthy guy. He's talking about Yisachar Zvulin. He's giving whole shmooz about, you know, supporting Talmud Torah. You know, one of these kinds of things. And the guy's like, I understand. It's Raman Yoredeya. It could be what comes tomorrow morning. There are masas in Yoredeya that you make a deal of Yisachar and Zvul, and you'll be Mechalik the Schar together. So the guy says, Ryan Collins, I understand. I have a lot of money. I'm giving all this thing. I'm going to get the same Schar. So what's the why learn anyway? Like, this is unbelievable. I get the same schar as the people who are Lomdei Torah. So Baron said, Enech Nami, you get the same Olam Haba, but your Olam Haza is nowhere near as good. Your Olam Haza is nowhere near as good. If you knew what the Olam Haza was, a person who learns, you know, you would never take that. Okay. It sounds very nice. It sounds very nice. The question is follows. Like, let's not downplay, you know, comforts in life. Like, are you sure if you had two options of you know, learning in the back of the last seat in coach, you know, right by the bathroom, and there's like 100 kids around you, or sitting in first class, that you would choose the safer sitting all the way back as opposed to sitting in first class? It's not as simple as it sounds. It sounds like a little bit of like Torah is amazing, but there's something real that's going on here. Something that's going on here, because on a level of physical comfort, Torah is not always just physically comfortable. Chazal speak about it. Torah the Rambam. Torah shel matati be'af, the Torah that is sometimes, again, there's a Torah which is challenging, the Torah which is hard sometimes, there's a Torah which comes with a mesiris nefesh, with you know, when the Bach's son writes in his Hakdamah to the Bach, like the Bach learning under this, like, intense poverty, and you read about the Ketzos' learning and intense. Is that really so? So the answer is, and I think this is an important ha'ara to make. There are all these mekoros that speak about the joy of learning. Many of us are familiar with them. There's the Egdei Tal and his Hakdama that don't think that Torah Lishma means you're not allowed to enjoy Torah. If you enjoy it, it's not called Lishma. No, you can enjoy it. It's still called Torah Lishma. Okay? There's Rav Menahar and the Darim. You know, even though Mitzvah's lovely, Henos that knew, Talmud Torah is given for Hana'a. Talmud Torah, you're supposed to really enjoy. There's a little bit of a Taz. There's a Stipler. Birchas HaTorah is really a Birchas HaNehenin on Torah. That's why I make a Birchas Torah, because the pleasure of learning Torah, it's so geschmack and it's so good. It's like Rabbi Yosef Engel thinks that's pshat in Birchas HaMitzvahs. The Rav is a similar pshat. The Birchas HaMitzvah is the same way that before you get physical hana, you have to make a bracha. So you get the spiritual hana of doing a mitzvah. You should also make a bracha on the hana that you're about to get right now. You know, all those marmikomos, I think, are often quoted. I think there's an additional step. It isn't just that you're supposed to enjoy learning, you know, in the very moment that you happen to be learning. It's that if a person learns properly and is able to realize what Torah can do, it does have the capacity, in a very, very real way, to make ki haTorah hi derech chayim l'chayi osher gam ba'olam haza. And we can unpackage that for a little bit. The Nevi'im are clear about this. Physical, I'm not from the world that knocks physical comfort. You know, I'm not from the world that believes that poverty is that much of a value. I think it's explicit in Chazal, poverty is not a value. It isn't a thing. As Usha, the great, you know, where the Sanhedrin went in Eretz Yisrael, you know, we don't have Isurim to be wealthy. We celebrate people who are wealthy. The Gemara Yuman Daf Lamed Hey, Hillel's Mechayeves Ha'aniyim. So also Mechayeves Ha'ashirim, you know, people who are, everyone's obligated to do their best. I think, and this I think is an interesting point, which I'll just, you know, make. In my life, at least, I imagine people have had similar experiences. There's this narrative that you want to believe, and then there's a narrative which is actually true. In my, at least, reality, I've been around very wealthy people that speak about money all the time. I've been very, very wealthy people that don't speak about money at all and speak about Klal Yisrael all the time. I've been around people that struggle financially, that all they do is talk about money. I've been around people that struggle financially, all they do is talk about, you know, holy exalted things. How much money you have is often not that indicative of what you're going to be speaking about on a level of values. Even though sometimes the narrative, like, if I don't have a lot of money, I want to believe that the people that are wealthy have no meaning in their life, but it ain't true. And in many, many ways, there are different elements of conversations, you know, that are very much present. What does, I believe, in the end of the day, infuse life with joy is the idea of meaning and the idea of knowing that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Purpose, accomplishment, feels very, very well. The physical pleasure, so I happen to be in the minority on this. I don't believe that all physical pleasures are fleeting. You know, if I had a really good meal last night, I'll still feel it today. I'm still happy right now. It isn't only about the time of the meal. I did have a very good dinner last night. I'm happy right now. Like, I'm still happier because of last night's dinner. It is. It is not the power of Torah. It is not the power of the enjoyment that a person has as a result of learning. When the Egdei Tal was saying that Limud Torah in enjoyment, or Torah is given for Hana, that's a statement. It's a statement not as like, look, Torah can be exciting. That's a real statement. The binding halachas that Avelim and Antishabov, we don't learn Torah because Pikudei Hashem Yisharim Misam Chelev is real. These things generate a degree of enjoyment of Torah, which is very, very much present. Luli Sarascha Sha'ashuai, you know, is very, very real as far as what Torah can provide in the sense of meaning and purpose and everything else. There is a madrega, there are different madregas of loving Torah and the way that Torah can improve your life, you know. But even if I didn't get shot in that balamor this morning, and even if on pure intellectual learning level it wasn't there, it was a morning of like Anu Amelim Vehem Amelim, Anu Amelim Makavim Schar Vehem Amelim Schar, and the Chavetz Chaim said, you know, we get schar for the Amelis even if it has no result. Even if it's one of those kinds of mornings, you're like, this better be an Anu Amelim kind of a morning, because the result wasn't, I didn't get shot in that balamor. I didn't understand that particular Tosfos, that particular Gemara. There's still enormous sort of value and joy that comes from being able to experience things, you know, in that particular way. It improves the value of it. And Chazal, something Chazal are really sensitive to. Chazal, when they say, you know, Ashrei Chalko Shel Mi She'Osek BaTorah, Mech Tanchum Parsha Ekev, Ki Chayim Heim L'Motzi Ehem. Or, again, Ki Kol Mi She'Motzi Divrei Torah Chayim Hu Motzi. You know, there's something like life, Ki Chayim Chayim. It's a different life, and it's a life infused with Torah. The joy is present, but really, I think in many ways, because of the sense of meaning and purpose which is there, aside from everything else. When you do what you're supposed to be doing, it feels right and it clicks. It's like the Maharal writes in Netzach Yisrael that the Hagdara of Galus, as opposed to Geula, is are you where you are supposed to be? Galus is that we're not where we are supposed to be. It's unnatural to be where we are. Geula is being in the place that is natural. Geula is being in the place where you are meant to be. There is nothing as good as feeling like you are home. Part of the value of a good home is it feels right. It's where I'm meant to be. It's a place where I can be comfortable. It's a place where I can, the best version of myself or a particular version of myself can emerge. And that in many ways is Torah has that bechina also in a level of action. It's what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. It's level. Obviously with other things going on also, but it, in many ways it taps into a form of ta'anug that is there in a way which is very, very real. They quote the Chavetz Chaim in Zagdamin Mishneh Berurah, Ushmartim eschukosai v'smishpatai asher yasu oso adam v'chai bahem. So what does v'chai bahem mean? Keep mitzvot, v'chai bahem. So we're aware of the drasha of v'chai bahem v'loshe yamas bahem. V'chai bahem is that you're going to be a life that a person, when they keep Torah mitzvot, should value life as opposed to giving your life for everything other than the Gimel Chamuros, the Gemara Tehedron, and Dafai and Dalet. But Targum Unklus translate v'chai bahem b'hai alma. V'chai bahem b'hai alma, which is a reference to again, in Olam Haba, which is nitzchis, so that's one thing. But many interpret v'chai behem is even in the most basic level in this world, that the Torah is, it's a different life if you keep Torah mitzvah as well. It's a meaningful life, it's an uplifting life. And the same way that God's chachma provides this world with its existence, so our Torah can provide our life with increased meaning and increased purpose, and that's a tapping into an element of Ribbono Shel Olam. God created the world with Torah, the world needs Torah to continue to be alive, and the world and our lives also are increasingly more meaningful when they are infused with, in a very real way, the power of the Torah HaKadosha. Shkayach.